Good morning and welcome to our chapel service. I ask that you would take out your hymn book that's next to you and turn to hymn number 63. Those are the large numbers on the top of the page. Hymn number 63, Now Thank We All Our God. The sheet that you received as you came into the chapel, you will see a Bible reading. It is the words of Jesus. It's found in the book known as John, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Some people call this the Christian faith in a nutshell. And let's consider these words. Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. These are your words, Heavenly Father. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, I was on the campus of Purdue University, and I was in their science building, known as Stuart Hall, one of their science buildings. They claim that one out of every 17 engineers in the world has been trained at Purdue University. That's amazing. One out of every 17 engineers is trained at Purdue University. But in that building, in what's known as Stuart Hall, is a huge mural. It's about the length of this wall right here. And it's about 15 or 20 feet tall as well. Enormous mural. And right in the middle of it is President Abraham Lincoln, one of the great American presidents. And it's a mural of history. And you can just imagine how long it took an artist to go up on a ladder or scaffolding and to paint all of the faces and the details of that mural and all of the different historical things that took place on that painting. I'd like you to use your imagination today. I would like for you to imagine that your life, your personal life, has been turned into a mural. That an artist decided to paint your life in a mural. Went up on a scaffolding or on a ladder and has now started to draw out the whole picture of your life. What would be the images, the pictures that would be used to show your life? Maybe your birth, your mom and dad, when you were born, how happy they were. Maybe your first day of crawling, your first day of going to school. Maybe the first time you started to feel like you really liked someone special and fell in love. All the different things that there could be in your life, all of those very important moments in your life could be put on the mural of your life. Now, some of you are young. Some of us, like me, are older in here. Some of us, our mural is further along than others. There's some people that still have a lot of white wall left to go on the mural of their life. What are all of the different images and pictures that there will be for your whole life to play out? When an artist paints a mural like that, he needs to come down from the ladder once in a while to step off from the scaffolding and step back away from the mural, the painting, and to make sure he sees where it's all going. That's the way our lives should be also. The Bible that we just read from, the Bible teaches us a lot about all the little things in our life. It has a lot to say about how we were born, where we came from, has a lot to say about how we should treat people and what we should do. But most importantly, the Bible invites us to step back away from the mural of our life and to look at the whole painting of our life, from as far back as we can, to keep it all in perspective. The Bible invites us to kind of come down from the ladder when we look at our lives and to ask ourselves from that larger view, where is this all going? What's going to happen when it comes near the end? When all of that white space in my life and the mural of my life is all filled in, what's going to happen? Where did this all start? Who's the one that's painting this mural? Is someone in charge of this? Why am I here? Why do I get to live right now? Why didn't I live 500 years ago? Who decided that? Why do I get to live where I live? Why am I in the country that I'm in? Why do I have the gifts and the talents that I have? All of these are very important questions to us. And the Bible has a lot to say about them. We all know that someday there's going to come an end to this life. We're lying to ourselves if we think we're never going to die. Everybody knows that all of our ancestors have died ahead of us, and the same thing is going to happen to me too. Someday my body will be destroyed and put down into the ground or burned to ashes. So what's the purpose of all of this? Where is this all going? In the Bible passage that we just read from Jesus, he uses a very interesting word. It's the word condemn. The word condemn is a really strong word. The word condemn implies, it means that there must be some kind of judgment involved, which means there has to be a judge as well. Right inside of my own conscience and inside of my own heart, there is a judge that knows when I do things wrong, knows when I'm being selfish, knows when I'm being greedy, knows when I'm lusting after someone, knows when I'm being hateful toward someone, even if I don't say it, even if it never comes out of my mouth. My own conscience inside of my heart knows when I've done things wrong. It condemns me. It says, Don, you know that what you've done is wrong. So there's a law about right and wrong that's written right inside of my heart. It's inside of every one of our hearts, of all people. There's a law written there. Well, if there's a law written there, there must be someone who wrote the law. Just like with a computer, if there's a computer program, somebody had to write that program and to put it there. The same is true with human beings. In our hearts, we have this law that actually condemns us inside of ourselves, and that's been put there and written there by God. Even if we want to pretend there is no God, He says, I'm the one who put it there. So God is the one who has written and put this law in our hearts, and that's why I feel guilty when I have done something wrong. And God, because He is the one who wrote the law, He is the judge, and He is the one that has the right, the power, to judge me and to condemn me. And that's why it's so fearful for me to think about dying. That's why we're afraid about dying. We don't know what's going to happen after that, and we have this sense that there's a judgment waiting for us. Jesus uses another kind of terrifying word. He uses the word perish. The word perish is like if you take a piece of fruit and just leave it to rot on the counter. It finally perishes and fades away. That's what's going to happen to our bodies as well. But the same God who wrote that law in our hearts, Jesus tells us He loves us. He cares about each one of you sitting here today. He loves us. That's wonderful to know. And that love in His heart moved Him, caused Him to send His Son, Himself, into the world in the form of Jesus Christ. He became a human being. He lived in history. You can look it up. You can read it in the historical books. There are records of His life in Roman records. He suffered and died under a Roman governor. It's recorded in history. And He came to life again after 3 days, all depicted for us in the beautiful painting of Jesus' life, His birth, His death on the cross, and then what we call His resurrection, His rising back to life again. Because as God, He could beat death. He is bigger than death. And God says to us now that to those of us who believe in Him, who put our trust and our hope in Him, that we don't have to worry about what's going to happen when we leave this life. Because God has prepared a beautiful home for us, a home of heaven, where there is no trouble, no sickness, no sadness, no tears, and no death. And that beautiful home of heaven is what God wants for every one of us. And that's why He sent His Son into the world. And this is a very personal thing for us. For those who believe in Christ, going back to that mural, we maybe don't know how much blank space is left in the mural of our lives. But God says that no matter when it comes to an end, to those who believe in Jesus, they will have a beautiful future, and that is the beautiful home of heaven that is waiting for us. I invite you to take out that sheet again. And if you have one in your hand, or maybe there's some around you that don't have this, and let's look again at that Bible reading and read it together. So Jesus said, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And let's now rise and join together in the Lord's Prayer. We'll say that together as is written. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We then take our hymn books again and turn to hymn 592, way in the back. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in peace. Amen.